Welcome back for another episode of Movie Torture. This month we're still focusing on the J-Lo love month with and Katherine Heigl as well. And today I am here with my buddy Brad, the co-hostess with the mostest. As he's getting ready to sneeze.
I wanted to cough because I'm better this week. I feel way better than I felt last week.
Yeah.
But we're taking a trip down Heigl Lane. And this is a lane that nobody wants to drive down. But we are plowing through this like the podcast experts we are. We are taking it like true champs. And or we could call it Kuchar Lane. Yeah. What's better, Kuchar or Heigl Lane? I mean, that's the... Or Tom Selleck. I mean, he
Stash Lane.
Stash Lane. I like
Stash
that.
Stash Lane.
That voice you hear is Blumhouse Trent, who has really only ever done one Blumhouse movie on
that's right.
Podcast.
I don't know why I keep the name.
We need to come up with a new one. Maybe we call him Grandpa Trent. That's even worse.
I don't have any grandkids.
Didn't we have your dad on the podcast?
Mine?
Didn't we?
No, he won't come on, but he'll sit in the studio and watch us.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, he can't be grandpa if your dad's the dad of Movie Torture.
True. Right. Your true grandpa. Point. Yeah, true. So it's Blumhouse Trent. Yeah. That other voice you hear, that other melodic, nicely sounding voice, is producer Gary, who is wearing a Tom Selleck mustache today. It's fake, but he's got it on.
Wearing it well, too.
I thought you were going to say Magnum Magnum P.I. Hawaiian shirt.
I thought I was just going to go with the Hawaiian shirt, yeah. too.
His is Magnum GP.
See, I was thinking the stash, though.
That's Magnum PG. Magnum producer Gary.
Good job.
But that's the first facial hair he's ever had on his face. So, you know, he's finally hitting puberty. Although it's fake, but he's there. He's got it. And he's got his Hawaiian shirt on. Because, you know, on Magnum, they wore the Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah, that's why we thought you were going to... Yeah.
I was going there, Gary. Have you ever seen an episode of Magnum P.I.?
The good one.
I don't not know. Not the new crap.
The good one.
I didn't know there was a new one. I knew that Tom Selleck was Magnum P.I., and he had, like, the shirt on. Because he doesn't have a shirt under it. He just wears the shirt, right? The Hawaiian shirt. I don't know that I've ever seen an episode, but I knew it existed.
Let's see if we can... listen to the themes, because I love theme songs.
Oh, that was one of the greatest theme songs.
It's a good one.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Hold on, let's see if it...
That is Ferrari.
Gary, I'm going to need you to turn up the Bluetooth on the...
Oh.
Yeah. Turn it up, Gary. Producer Gary doing some work. He's knocking it out. Ready? I really didn't want to stop that because it just gets me.
Nah, yeah, you just like.
What do you think the best theme song of all time is?
Hawaii 5-0, the first one.
The first one. What about you, Raj? I was gonna say that or A-Team.
That one's good too.
Let's listen to Hawaii 5-0.
The one for Dallas was good too.
Producer Gary's dancing a little bit. He's got the head nod. Okay,
hey,
Rod.
That's the Ventures, man.
I would shake my hip to that if I wasn't afraid of like blowing one. So.
Oh gosh, Dallas theme. Roger's picking Dallas, and that is a good one.
Because I remember. This is when we'd see the opening to America's Greatest Stadium when I was a kid.
Yes. Okay, now I'm going to go with this one. Because I like this one.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Producer Gary's confused right now.
This is about 20 years before him.
Like, I know it, but...
You, you don't.
It's Knight Rider, man.
Oh yeah,
Knight Rider. Okay. But this one's good too.
In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court.
I like how it says in 1972. Promptly escaped. Like, that's how old we are.
Stockade. That was only like 5 years before the show. Today, probably was like 8 years before the show.
I know, of fortune.
If you have a problem, wait, are they get to
if
the...
no one else can help,
here we go.
If you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, are we the A-Team of movie torture podcast, of bad movie podcast? I think we are, right?
Yeah, we just have more than four people. We've got like a super squad.
Which one of us is BA?
I thought we were like...
Probably me, because I'm the oldest.
Yeah, oh. Gary's... Don't they have one that wears the hat backwards? Or wears the hat? What's his name?
The crazy guy.
Murdoch.
No, that's the cigar, right?
No, that's Hannibal. That's
Hannibal, okay. Gary has to be Murdoch, right? Because he's always got the hat on.
If we are the third best, the third ranked.
We're actually fourth now. I looked. We're fourth.
Can we be the A-Team then?
I feel like we're an A-Team.
Are we Team D?
What are we, the D-Team?
Oh, my God.
We go solve the crimes that nobody, the first three don't want to worry.
We're like the Scooby-Doo of the crime-solving world.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious! We're the Scooby Doo.
Yeah, there's a ghost over there, but no. Anyway,
I like how we spent the first 10 minutes talking about theme songs. We hadn't even got to the movie. Roger, what movie?
That tells you the depth of the movie.
Before we get to that, listeners, Trent is doing a read. He's doing his first read tonight. So everybody at home, drum roll it.
Yeah, for one of our new sponsors.
Here we go.
I think. Hold on, Gary has a drum roll. Hold on.
I don't know what these buttons do.
Oh, yeah. Don't hit the drum roll, Gary, because you'll hit the wrong button. Trent, what's our read? Who has sponsored us?
Okay, here we go. Hey, folks. Are you living next door to the neighborhood's unofficial circus?
Oh,
complete with crazy clowns, acrobatic raccoons, and a symphony of bizarre late-night karaoke? Circus music and animal sounds.
Trent's reading the.
It was like, oh, that
he's
was my job.
The parentheses.
That's where I came in.
I Gary, just see if you catch that.
Gary failed with the sound effects. Thanks a lot, producer Gary. Anyway,
well, say goodbye to the loony bin next door with our revolutionary product, the Neighborhood Normalizer.
Ooh,
heroic fanfare.
Heroic fanfare.
Our team of expert scientists, psychologists, and a part-time wizard have concocted the perfect formula to turn your wild neighbors into the picture of suburban normalcy. With just one application of a neighborhood normalizer, your neighbors will be hosting tea parties for garden gnomes and discussing the weather like it's an extreme sport. But wait, there's more! Order now, and we'll throw in the Sane Safari Starter Kit at no extra cost, Safari Drumbeat.
Safari.
I can't even think of how to do that one.
Wait. Safari drum. I'm listening. I gotta do a safari drum beat.
Imagine your once crazy neighbors going on a journey of self-discovery, exploring the wild plains of normalcy. It's like a safari for the socially peculiar. Act now, because a neighbor normalizer is flying off the shelves faster than a cat on a Roomba. Call 1-800-CRAZY-NO-MORE and put an end to the craziness today.
Now, as we say every week, thank you, Trent, that producer Gary tries out every product, but he can't remember what happened with it. But your neighbors, are they normal now, or are they still crazy?
Yeah, they're pretty average.
Quit having the...
Suspiciously normal now.
They play bongos like Matthew McConaughey, right?
Would Matthew McConaughey be a normal neighbor, you think?
Probably not.
Probably
he
not.
Played them naked, right? Didn't he play the bongos naked one time?
Yes. I was going to say he played a neighbor naked?
No, he played the bongos naked in real life.
That sounds like a man.
That's how he
kind
plays,
of thing to
plays,
do.
Plays them, yeah. So. But you probably don't want to live next door to that, though.
No. Nah. You got to move away.
Yeah.
Although, Matthew McConaughey, as your neighbor, you would drop that in every line with your friends, right?
Oh, you would tell everybody. Yeah.
You know who lives next door to me? Yeah. I'm going over for a barbecue tomorrow.
All right.
I'll just give you a hint. They drive a Lincoln Navigator and they talk to themselves.
All right.
Little bit of Maddie McConaughey. It's like, he pulls up with all that right, Navigator.
All right.
I'm riding. I'm hitting reverse. I don't want to ride with Matthew McConaughey anymore, honey, because he talks while he drives.
He doesn't shut up the entire time we ride.
He tells me every move. He's like you, but he's a dude, and he's telling me every move you do. It's like, I don't want to hear it. Raj, what movie are we doing tonight? We're finally there 20 minutes later.
We're doing Killers.
Oh, gosh.
From 2010, starring Katherine Heigl and Ashton Kutcher.
Is this our first Ashton Kutcher movie? It is, right?
Yeah.
Welcome to the club, Ashton.
Yeah. like I said, this was released in June 1st of 2010, and the budget for it was $75 million. The box office was $98.2
million. Okay, first off, Blumhouse Trent, what did they spend $75 million on, first off? Like, I can't even fathom that. Second, why would they think this was a summer blockbuster? Like, producer, we haven't had producer on in a while. But
it sets it up like it will be for the first 5 seconds with a Ferrari and the helicopter, and then it goes tragically off the rails.
Yeah.
So, do you think movie producer guy was like, okay, we got Kutcher and we got Heigl. We've got a winner.
And Tom Selleck.
Oh, throw in Magnum and Home Alone Mom and we're good.
Right.
Who is a frequent attender of Movie Torture?
Oh, I'm going to get to the alumni because we've got some alumni in this movie. This year. Just like, what the crap, man? Anyway, Raj, back to you. This movie made $98 million.
Yeah, but...
Who went to watch this?
I never even heard of it until now.
People overseas, because it didn't do well here in the
What did it do in America? The Americans are smarter, right?
Oh, I got it right here.
12 bucks, 18 cents.
This is one that I can... Because Hannah calls me out. But First Lady of Movie Torture calls me out. She says, you always go see every one of these in the theater. I've never seen this movie before.
I never heard of it.
I must have skipped it.
I've seen it. Yeah, this took in $47 million in the United States and $51 in other territories.
$47 million.
Opening weekend, it finished third behind Shrek Forever After and Get Him to the Greek, which was a goofball movie as well.
That was a terrible movie for a weekend. Like, all those three movies all suck.
It was a bad weekend.
That was a bad week. Okay.
And this is the baddest of the bad weekend.
If we do 40, I'm just going to do the math really quick. If we do 47, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 47 million divided by, what's the average movie ticket? 15 bucks?
Yeah, something like
Back
that.
Back then, what was it, like 12 maybe? 12, yeah, let's do divided by 12. 3.9 million people got off their couch and drove to the theater to watch this crap.
It was almost 2 hours, too.
Oh, we're going to get to the runtime. It was excruciatingly long. Like, I was ready to be killed by the end of the semester.
By that first hour, I was like, okay, is it over yet?
I was like, can they kill me? Is that an option? Is this one of those, like, videos that'll kill me, like, mid-watch? What else you got, Raj?
It's time for your minute synopsis.
Oh, okay. So, basically, the guy from the 70s show and the girl from Grey's Anatomy meet, and whoa, he's a killer, and he's like Martin Mull, who is great, by the way. He works for Martin Mull, and he is a killer. They move into suburban Atlanta, because that's where all movies take place now, suburban Atlanta, and Tom Selleck puts a bounty out, a $20 million bounty. I think it's Tom Selleck, right? I'm trying to follow this movie.
Yeah, it's Tom Selleck.
A Magnum P.I. puts a bounty out, or Mr. Baseball, whichever one you remember him from. $20 million. So every neighbor is trying to murder this guy.
And his own daughter.
And his own daughter. Yeah. So then at the end, we find out, whoa, it was Tom Selleck, Magnum, that put the bounty out, but they're a happy family. Movie ends on a good note, but wow. Like, we got a lot to unpack in this movie, because this movie was straight bonkers from the beginning to the end. It really was. So we pick up in Nice, France. Is it like France? The Riviera, basically? The French Riviera? It's nice.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, wow, this movie's going to start out pretty good. Like, it's
For the first 3 seconds, you thought, it may be okay.
But it was that last 2 hours. That
like
really
when he's driving around a Ferrari, then when he talked with his deep voice like an assassin, like he was Bond, then he lost me.
Does anybody buy Ashton Kutcher as an assassin?
That's the first thing I told my wife is, you can't tell me he's an assassin. It just does. Yeah. It's terrible.
Yeah. What is one good Ashton Kutcher movie? Raj, do you know one? Maybe Just Married. That was pretty funny back in early 2000 with Brittany Murphy. That was a funny movie.
Yeah, my thing with him is he's always kind of going to have that typecasting from the 70s show.
That he's like real goofy.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought.
The Butterfly Effect was good. We've talked about that on this podcast before, where he can go back in time, but he was like molested. It gets really dark. Like, yeah. It's not a comedy. It's about molestation, and you're just like, what am I watching? Like, you feel dirty watching it. Like, you feel like you need to take a shower when you're done. Because it has Eric Stoltz, like taking photos of little kids. It's really creepy. Oh, wow. Like, I don't understand it. Like, I wouldn't want to be in a movie where I'm a pedo. But that's just me. But Ashton Kutcher, wrong casting. Who would have been better in this movie?
I kept thinking Tom Selleck, a younger Tom Selleck, would have played that part better than Ashton Kutcher played it.
He would have. Mark Wahlberg would have been good in this
Wahlberg
movie.
Could have, yeah.
He's at least kind
of just
believable.
Wasn't believable as an assassin.
No. Mark Wahlberg's like, I'll be in this movie. Put me in this movie. I'm from Boston. I want to be in this movie. I'll be Boston. It's like, Roger's looking at, is that not a good Boston? I'm a Mark Wahlberg over
no,
here.
No, it's, we've been in Boston, and that's not. It's
we
not
need
good.
To get we need to get Erin on from Boston to actually do the Mark
do
Wahlberg
the real accent.
We need her to do the Mark Wahlberg imitation for us. Okay, guys, I'm gonna go do some murdering over here. You want some murdering?
That's a little better.
I'm gonna murder. He's always got the high tone, the high pitch to him. Like, I'm not a murderer. We could go to Wahlburgers. I could kill you at Wahlburgers. Roger's just looking at his computer now.
I'm looking at his filmology and just trying to see, you know, something that jumps out is like, yeah,
anything?
That's a good one. I think the Guardian with Kevin Costner was a pretty decent movie.
I haven't seen it.
Where they were like, work for the Coast Guard. So,
I could have played with Kevin Costner. I could have been in the Coast Guard.
Back in the day, he was did the voice for one of the characters in Open Season, one of his cartoon movies.
Did you watch that, Roger?
My son was, you know, see, that would have been, he would have been 9 years old.
So you watched Open
oh,
Season?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was in Cheaper by the Dozen.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yep. He was?
Yeah, yep. He played like the boyfriend or something, one of the kids in it or something.
They could have put Mark Wahlberg in there.
Or was he the oldest brother? Maybe
no, I think he played one? Because they like tortured him the whole time through the movie. So he was one of the, I think he was one of the boyfriends or something. Yeah, but yeah. I haven't seen that in years.
Which one are you talking about?
Dude, Where's My Car?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, he was in that, yeah.
He was Steve Jobs. Yeah, I thought that one was, I didn't
you
think
like
that one was bad. Well, it's been a long time since I've seen it, so it might have been.
What if they cast, what if they cast Mark Wahlberg in Dude, Where's My Car? Dude, where's my car? I need my car. Where's my car? Is it Wahlburgers?
Sounds more like a Frenchman.
Yeah. Is it at Wahlburgers?
Sounds like he's in Nice.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. We should always play a game. Would Mark Wahlberg be better? I secretly love Mark Wahlberg movies, by the way. He's one of my favorite actors. And he's on the prayer app now. So
he is on the prayer app.
He sends prayers up while he's pumping iron. I mean, yeah. that's the move. I pump iron a lot. And I don't always pray when I'm pumping iron. Because I don't ever pump iron, but...
There's that.
You should pump iron. I'm telling you. Wahlburgers. Dear God, please help Wahlburgers. Didn't we eat Wahlburgers, Trent?
We ate at Wahlburgers, but it wasn't in Boston, though. It was in Detroit.
Oh, right? My... No, yeah, it was. Downtown Detroit.
It was downtown,
Greektown.
In Greektown, Detroit, yeah.
I don't like the Pistons, bro. I don't like the Pistons, bro. Roger's like, okay, you're an idiot. Anyway, enough Mark Wahlberg. Back to this stupid movie.
Yeah.
Katherine Heigl, she looks better in this movie than she did in The Big Wedding. I will say that. But this is the end of the Heigl. This is near the end of her theatrical run as a lead. Right, Raj?
Yeah, I'll look it up. She... You know, the last podcast that we had her on, we didn't like her haircut, and her hair was beautiful through most of this, but then she did the curls at the very end again. The short hair look.
Why do they do, why does she, does she just want short hair? If I came home and my wife had cut her hair, I would be disgusted. I would be like, well, I'm not attracted to short-haired women. I'm just not. Trent, Leslie chops her hair off. You going to be happy? Like, if she's got, like, a cut like yours?
I've been married for a long time, and I'm not going to be involved in this conversation.
My wife's not going to listen. She knows. Smart, I've told her, though. You cut your hair, I'm going to be angry. Like, I'm shaving my head off if you cut your hair. We'll have very little hair in this house. That's my threat.
There you go.
Did somebody say cutting their hair off?
Let me know how all that works out.
Yeah. I'll be living with Gary. Me and producer Gary would be the odd couple.
No. No, we're not doing that. Save a lot of money on shampoo that way, though.
What, with me and you? No hair?
No.
Oh.
Just people that don't have hair, Brad.
Yeah.
You're not living with me, you weirdo.
Did somebody say living, bro? Anyway.
Yeah, she did this one.
She did one for the money in 2012, right?
Yeah.
And that's it, right? That's the ugly truth.
Well, big wedding, 2013.
That's not a, she's not a lead in that one. Like, I want to know, when's the last movie she was a lead in that was in the theaters?
It doesn't, I mean, I can't see that from what I'm looking at.
Doesn't she do, like, Netflix stuff and stuff like that now? I think.
Yeah, but is she a star? I don't consider her a star anymore.
She produces some of that stuff.
But she's not a big star, right?
Not like back then. Yeah.
And this was the end for Ashton Kutcher in theaters too, right? Because he ended up doing the 2.5 Men.
Yeah,
and pretty much quit TV. Quit movies.
Yeah, he pretty much did TV after this. Yeah.
He. When's the last big movie he's been in? I hadn't seen him in a theatrical movie. In,
right.
She did one called The Fear of Rain in 2021. It was like
never heard of it.
A psychological horror film, and the two of you have never heard of it?
Never heard of that.
We do like those kind of movies. But
it's my thing, but I've never heard of it.
But I have an anti... I don't like Heigl. She came on Suits the last season, and I didn't even care. I'm like, you ruined Suits, man. She ruins everything. She's not funny.
She ruins everything.
She ruins everything.
Why does anybody invite her to anything?
Yeah, she ruins it all. My wife ever leaves me, she'll have Catherine Heigl read the divorce papers to me just to ruin it.
She was not necessarily the entire problem of this particular movie, though.
No, she was probably the best part of this movie, honestly.
I mean, this movie had a lot of faults that you couldn't lay at her feet.
You said she ruins everything, but she was the best part of this movie?
That just tells you the movie we're talking about.
This movie still is ruined, but she is probably the least of this movie.
She's the least of the ruination.
She's the least of the ruination, yes.
That's right.
I'm trying to look... What did I write down? I had such
Gary,
little things to write down.
Again, I would recommend to better follow along with the discussion, you know, if you watch the movie.
I did like the line that Ashton Kutcher drops. I think I wrote it down. It says, tolerance to his physical godlike perfection, which I guess he wrote that. I didn't write who said it, but it was quoted in this movie, and I was like, this movie's crazy. This crazy talk. It's a dumb movie. But
well, it's hard to follow.
Okay, yeah, bring that up, Trent.
Okay, so like the biggest thing for me at the beginning of it was, so you got this whole thing where he's doing his assassin thing on the side, where he's also trying to spend some time with her, and then it goes from that to they're married, and there's no like in between. It's just like, and they don't even acknowledge really that they're married. It's just all of a sudden you figure it out. Oh, they're married now, mm-hmm. And that was like crazy hard to follow. And then he gets out of the killing business. That's never really addressed until later. It didn't make any, it had no flow to it, especially in the beginning part. And then it just went weird after that.
Well, the whole scene with the girlfriends at work, you know, and she's talking about, oh, this is just not exciting and stuff like that, you know. And I don't know. It's just like, man, it's 3 years is a lot, pretty early to complain about stuff in your marriage, you know.
Yeah, you at least got to give it like, 3.5 years.
Yeah, exactly.
So start complaining. Okay, this director, Richard Lukacs. Lukacs, that's his name. Let's see how many movies we've seen of this guy. His first big one was Legally Blonde. Okay. I've seen that. It's a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
It's funny. It holds up. Win a Date with Tad Hamilton. Topher Grace. So he obviously liked, he was watching the 70s show.
Right, he was watching some 70s show.
Monster in Law with Jane Fonda.
And J-Lo.
And J-Lo, both alum of Movie Torture. 21, which was pretty good, but that had the creeper Kevin Spacey in it.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
right.
A good movie. I really
it is that. A good movie.
Yeah.
Then he did The Ugly Truth in 2009, so he got on the Heigl kick. He was like, I'm going down Heigl Lane.
Right. She was in that.
Next movie, Killers. So he was like deucing it up with Heigl. Then he did some Jane the Virgin, which was a pretty good show. Then he did The Wedding Year. Never heard of that.
Mm-mm.
And, oh, he did Paranoia after Killers. I've never seen that. Never even heard of it. With Harrison Ford.
Oh, well, yeah.
Paranoia with Gary Oldman and Harrison Ford. And how have
you
I never
think
heard
that
of this
would be
movie?
A good lineup, but I've never heard of that.
It's got Amber Turd in it, too. So, I mean, this movie is... It's on Max right now, Trent. We should watch
that and see if it's any good.
It's a 5-point, Roger. We've got to watch Paranoia now. Like, I've never even heard of this. It says, an entry-level employee at a powerful corporation finds himself occupying a corner office, but at a dangerous price. He must spy on his boss's old mentor to secure for him a multi-billion dollar advantage.
Already sounds better than Killers.
I actually want to watch this movie. I'm going to go and watch Paranoia just to watch it. My wife's like, what you watching, Brand? I'm like, I'm watching Paranoia. It's like... Roger, that's Richard Lukacs' filmography, and it's a bunch of turds. You put Amber Turd in a movie. I don't know, man.
This one could have used her.
Would she have been better than Heigl?
But Heigl's not the problem in this movie. It's plot is what's so horrible.
The plot is horrendous. Yeah. So we jump straight to Suburban. Now, I will say Rob Riggle is great. I find him so funny all the time. He was the crazy neighbor.
I liked how his teeth were knocked out.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's good, right?
There weren't enough of him, so he wasn't really able to do too much. I mean,
I would believe him as the spy. I would believe him in the Ashton Kutcher
role. You know, he in his few minutes in there, though, he carried the kind of the guy hiding out, really being the assassin kind of part really well.
Yeah.
I mean, he did well with it. He was the believable part of it. Not so much the other, but him you believed.
Are we to believe that all the friends they have are all killers?
Okay, why does no one call the police in this movie?
Yeah.
Ever.
Is there any police?
See, that's what I took away from it. Like, everybody's just shooting. They're firing off machine guns at one another. And the police never come.
Yeah.
If I shoot a machine gun, and I do not own one, at my house, the cops have been there like 3 seconds.
It's like this was filmed in Lake Wiley.
Are there police officers in suburban Atlanta, Roger?
Well, this was like in Douglasville. And Douglasville's kind of out in the country. It's like a deep suburbia.
But even the neighbors don't come out to see the problem.
Yeah.
So if we bought...
The little girl says, you know, oh, look, as they were riding by and, you know...
If we bought a movie torture cul-de-sac where all of us live next door to each other in Douglasville, Georgia, could Trent and I practice our machine gun shooting?
And I don't own one.
I don't own a machine gun. But if we did,
well, my favorite was Stuart from Big Bang Theory out there with the the machine gun.
Nobody.
Yeah, he's sitting out there with a sniper rifle that with a bipod out there,
yeah.
And then no one at the block party notices this at all. No one hears the machine gun. And goes, huh? What's going on next door?
Oh, must be fireworks.
Wouldn't they jump like producer Gary if you heard a machine gun at your neighbor's house before you subdued them? Would you be scared?
Before I subdued them
with the neighbors, what we sponsor?
Oh.
The
normalizer.
The crazy the neighbor normalizer. Right.
I mean, yeah, I imagine it's really hard to make a gun quiet. And
you could use a silencer.
Especially when you're firing off about 300 rounds.
Yeah. I don't know if they make silencers for machine guns.
Probably not.
Dude, I don't know. It's hard to make that quiet.
What about the UPS driver? He was in on it too, man. He was like, I'm going to get this guy. I'm getting $20 million.
Yeah, everybody was trying to get him,
The chick from The Office.
That's right. All the office workers were trying to get him, too. That's
he was
right.
on that show Big Sky that's on ABC.
What are we to believe all these people want money so bad they're willing to kill for money.
Well, I think that I think it was under the guise that they were hired and put there because they were assassins already.
Okay.
And they were hired for that job. What's hard to believe is that they were sleepers for 3 years or whatever, you know, and they were just his best friends. And, like, I got to be honest with you, that would be hard to pull off.
Yeah. Wouldn't you get bored after a while? You'd be like, man, right. I'm tired of chasing Gary, dude. I just don't want to kill him at this point. He's killing me. Just being his friend.
So my question is, like, why didn't, at the end of that party, you know, Rob really fell asleep on the couch. Why didn't he get up, like, and kill him, like, in the middle of the night or something like that?
Well, I think he got, like, you know, he got that phone call when they were standing in the kitchen, and that was his go signal. And when he saw it, like, now it was like he said, you know, get him. So I think that's when he was supposed to do it.
Would this movie have been better if all these people had been hypnotized, kind of like Hypnotic? When we watch that,
yeah, and you're like, send off a bing, and then it's time to go. Right?
And then, like, Selleck goes bing, and then Riggle just wakes up and he walks in there. I must kill like a zombie. Ashton Kutcher.
It could have been any dumber.
I like that it was just all the like, because it's like everywhere he turned, it was somebody in his life that was trying to kill him, you know. And how it was just like, you know, just that kind of reaction to it every time.
But I think we needed, and maybe I missed this part because this movie was so boring. Maybe I miss it, but we need a couple people that he assumes, like, say, me and Trent, right? We're just, and he's like, y'all are killers. I'm like, no, we're not killers, bro. Like, we're just.
Well, he did that at the end with a lady, the really obnoxious neighbor.
Oh,
she
yeah.
She punches at the end.
Yeah.
He's like, and Thomas Lake says, no, she's not an assassin. She's not one of them.
Yeah, but we needed that in the middle of the movie. We needed some levity of, like, not everybody's trying to kill these. Like, I think this movie would have been funnier. Roger yawns as I talk. Would have been funnier if there'd have been, like, two friends that are like, what's going on with Ashton Kutcher and Grey's Anatomy? Like, I'm worried about them. I think they're losing their mind.
Well, it was so hard to follow because you would go from the comedy stuff to literally putting, like, holes in people's heads. Like, shooting somebody in the head or whatever. You're like, because Martin Mull was, like, laying there and just, like, shot up.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, it was funny 3 seconds ago. Now that's taken serious. Now it's going to be funny. And you couldn't follow it. I mean, there was no really. They try to make certain aspects, like blowing up the copter and stuff, like really super serious. And then it would go just so stupid you couldn't believe it. And it would just go back and forth. And that made it really hard to follow.
I guess they watched, like, Mr. and Mrs. Smith and said, let's do that.
Oh, it was clearly like a comedic version of Mr. and Mrs. Smith, yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
But let's make, or True Lies. Right, because he's an assassin,
yeah.
But she doesn't know it.
Yeah, it was a little bit of all of that together.
Man, we needed Jamie Lee and her short hair. Now, she pulls off the short hair. I mean, not attractively, but she pulls it off. And she could have been eating, like, Activia the whole time.
Going, yeah, about that.
She got to go, Ashton, I got to go take a dump. I've eaten, like, three things of Activia yogurt.
It was just so, the thing was just so... I don't know. It was just, and then seeing that her dad set it all up was just stupid.
Yeah, like, imagine if my father-in-law wanted me and his daughter dead.
Well, speaking of that, Brad, as I pull out my gun.
Oh my gosh, a live killing on the pod will really go up in the iTunes rankings.
Well, you know, what got me, though, was it didn't seem to offend anybody at the end that he had put a hit out on his son-in-law.
Yeah, okay, imagine your wife's dad putting a hit out on you. Would she be happy at the end going, okay, we've had to, like, murder most of our neighbors all because you? Like, I feel like my wife would never speak to Movie Torture Dad again. I feel like that would be, she'd be, like, so mad at Movie Torture Dad for trying to have me murdered.
Well, I would have, like, pretended to put my gun down if I was Ashton Kutcher, then when Tom Suck started to drop, I would have got the drop on him.
Like, oh my gosh.
Took care of dad, you know what I mean?
Oh my gosh. I would have pulled that move where I put the barrel in his mouth and I'm like, Tell me I'm your daddy now. And he's like, you're my daddy.
And then it ends and no one goes to jail.
Yeah.
No,
you got a sea of bodies laying around and no one he shoots people out of the doorway in the middle of a block party and nobody goes to jail.
How many years in prison would Kutcher spend?
300, probably, but it's, you know.
Tom Selleck's going away for life, too, right?
Oh, they all would, except Katherine Heigl and her mom.
Yeah, you know, and what are they doing with the bodies and all this stuff? And then it's like happy, you know, it tries to end in this, you know, everything's cool thing at the end, but it's just, it was so unbelievable.
You can't wrap this movie up in a bow.
No.
There's too much murdering going on in this movie to make anyone likable. Like, none of these people are likable, right? Except Catherine O'Hara, who's back. She was in Surviving Christmas, so she's back for round two of movie torture. She's only likable. Her and Katherine Heigl, only two likable people in this movie.
So, the question of the night.
And maybe the neighbor that gets punched, just because she's not killed.
The question of the night for us to take and bring to our normal lives is, who's the worst neighbor you've ever had?
Oh, gosh. I haven't really had a bad neighbor. Like, I watch Fear Thy Neighbor on... That's a good show.
That's a good show.
Because I'm always like, look, if Trent was my neighbor and he ticked me off and I didn't like him over something stupid, because usually it's always you put your fence...
Your garbage can or something.
An inch on my property. Right. Now
your
I'm going to...
fence post.
Now I'm going to murder you. I've always told my wife, I'm like, look, all these problems could be solved if you just... grabbed a little bit of humility, walked over. I'd say, you know what, Trent? I'm sorry we've been arguing about this stupid fence, man. Let's let bygones be bygones. I apologize. I'm really sorry. And I feel like you can quell any problem with a neighbor if you just lower your guard and apologize. You don't have to get to killing.
If you have one that's... But some people in life, you can't deal with them, though. There is that. You know, some people just you can't reason with.
You can't. But I had a neighbor at our old house. They weren't bad, but... our bedroom was beside their driveway, and they would turn their light on. So it would shine into my room, and then I would resort to putting, like, a blanket on my window to then...
some blackout curtains.
I tried, and Kristen's like, we look like idiots. Like, I don't want to come in my bedroom and see a blanket hanging on the window. Like, we're not that ghetto yet. But... I would want to go over there. I would envision, like, taking a bat and just busting that light out at night because it would shine. I like pitch dark. So that might be the worst part of my neighbor. And
so you almost needed to fear his neighbor.
Fear that. Could you imagine if I was on Fear Thy Neighbor all because of a light bulb? Like, you're...
Well, some of that stuff is about that bad,
though.
Oh, it's
though. So yeah. Dumb. Like, yeah. For me, I'm just like, you know what? He's turned his light on. There's nothing I can do about it. I'll just try my best to black out my window so I don't have that light shining in on me, because I like a dark room at night. What about you, Raj? What's your worst neighbor?
I've just had a couple, you know, times where somebody was playing music too loud or something like that, but it never, like, was a regular thing. So, you know, yeah, I like the house we live in now. It's our back, people live behind us, you know, the back of their house is facing us, so they'll... go out there sometimes and, you know, light a campfire or whatever out there and play some music. And, you know, it's just not, it's okay during the weekends up to a certain time, but I'm lucky enough our wife can sleep through it. But, yeah, we don't have anybody that, like, that throws in, you know, the neighborhood party at their house.
No block parties and machine guns?
Well, there's some block parties around the corner. Maybe not with machine guns, but they like to shoot off fireworks on non-firework holidays, but, you know.
Roger, you almost sound like an old man, a grumpy old man at this point.
See, you're doing that on purpose, because I turned myself that this week.
He's in my phone now as grumpy old redheaded Roger.
Yeah.
Because he's a grumpy old man at times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you call the police on a neighbor?
Don't tell them it's me, but they're loud.
I've only done it once before.
Whoa, you've done it?
But I did it because the husband and wife were in a fight, and like there was, it was kind of an abuse situation.
Okay, well, that's understandable.
I wasn't going over there to get in the middle of and get shot. But I called the police and said, you might want to come out here before this guy kills his wife.
I was thinking for a minute I'm going to start calling you Karen, but... Okay. What about you, Trent?
I've never had, you know, I can think when I was younger, maybe something like what Roger said, you know, you might have a neighbor that had loud music occasionally or something like that, but nothing to the point of where it was bad.
You want to be on Fear That Neighbor?
I want to be on Fear That Neighbor.
What about you, producer Gary?
We never had, like, bad neighbors. We used to have a guy live beside us that, so we had three cars when it was me, my mom, and my sister, and we all had a car, but we only had a driveway big enough for two, and our house was like on the corner right up to like where the fire hydrant is, so you can't park, but you know, from a certain amount of distance between the stop sign, mm-hmm. you know, that stop sign and that, and mm-hmm. anyway, so we couldn't park like right in front of the house, or we'd block part of the, so we'd have to like kind of park in front of his house, and he had a driveway. His was big enough that he could have fit. I think they only had two cars, so he could fit both of them. But we never had like a big. There was no big blow up thing that happened. But you know, we could see like we kind of tried to avoid him because we didn't really want that confrontation.
Mm.
But we did kind of fight over that one little spot every once in a while.
Mm. So none of us have really had that many bad.
We haven't had shooting neighbors or anything like that, like we saw in this movie.
But if you got a chance to have a $20 million hit, I still wouldn't take it. I don't want to kill anybody for $20 million. Maybe it's 30, but not 20.
Did y'all ever see that movie with Zac Efron about the frat house?
Neighbors?
Yeah, I just watched
called
that one.
Neighbors.
I didn't realize that's what it was called. I just watched that
Did somebody
one.
Somebody say Neighbors, bro?
I just watched that one. I just watched that one a couple of weeks ago. I actually kind of liked it.
I like that you just watched Neighbors a couple of weeks ago. It's been out for like 10 years or something, right?
I don't know.
There's a sequel, Gary.
Really?
Neighbors 2, yes.
Oh, that's a very creative
More Neighbors.
Neighbors 2.
It's called More Neighbors. Neighbors.
More Neighbors.
Yeah.
It should be called Neighbors 2, Fear Thy Neighbor.
Yeah, there you go. Fear Thy Neighbor.
And Seth Rogen finally just like flips his lid and just goes next door and puts a bullet in Zac Efron's face and just walks away. That's the movie. Gone.
Well, the second one should have been called Neighbors 2, the chick version.
Oh, was it chick? I can't even remember. That movie.
It was a sorority.
Oh, the sorority?
Yeah.
That's kind of stupid, though.
Yeah.
Because they had kind of worked things out, him and Zach, and then they moved out and a sorority moved in. Or maybe they moved to a different, I don't remember what it was, but yeah, it was a sorority. And then they just decided to make their lives complete.
Horrible.
Oh, it was.
Well, if they moved, now what are the odds? If they moved and then a sorority moves in next door after you just avoided the fraternity? Like, I feel like at that point, you're just cursed with...
move yourself, right?
I've just got to... forget it. That's when you move to the Villages in Florida.
Would it be that bad to live next to a sorority, though?
If you're a married dude, yes. Oh, okay. But if you're not married, movie torture house beside a sorority house...
And it would depend how old you are, being married, not married.
I mean, if we were all 25 and single and living in a house... And then a sorority, it would be our luck, though, that it would be a sorority for women who like women. So then us single dudes could never actually, wouldn't even be to our advantage. It'd only be to the girls' advantage. Oh, okay, let me ask you this as we bring this thing down. Where would producer Gary be? I've got an idea of what producer Gary could be doing in this movie.
The UPS FedEx guy.
You think that would be producer Gary?
Yeah.
I was going to say he's an added character. He's the dude with the Hawaiian shirt and the hat on backwards who comes in and buries the dead bodies after they've murdered. He's like, grab that one. And he's like, I got it, boss. And he's like... He's got his headphones on. He's just singing. He's digging the graves. He's throwing the bodies in.
Do they call the police or they just bury the bodies themselves?
No, they just call Gary and he comes and buries them.
They never talk about, what are we going to do with all these dead bodies we have heaped in the living room?
Gary be called the cleaner.
He's the cleaner.
He's the cleaner.
He kind of does that in real life.
Maybe the sequel could be instead of killers, cleaners.
I do not. Clean up dead bodies for
no,
me,
not
just for the record.
No, he doesn't.
Anybody comes looking for me, that is not what I do for a living.
But couldn't you see Gary with his Hawaiian shirt in the back in Ashton's backyard just digging little graves to throw
AirPods in, just doing his thing with a shovel?
No, he would have a Walkman, like an old school Walkman. He's
listening popping to, in a cassette tape.
He's listening to a Bob Seger tape. Night Moves is out there digging.
Got a Silver Bullet band on the tape.
He's listening to the old Silver Bullet band, and he's digging a grave.
Toning out everybody while he's doing his thing.
He's dragging Martin Bull in the gunshot. Yeah. He's like, okay, another one. And he's like, how many are you going to kill here, Ashton?
Like 20 bodies buried in the backyard.
All he's stacked like, up on top of each other.
And the quarter acre land.
He doesn't know the value of money, so he's always like, 20 bucks to bury, 20 bucks to bury. And he's like,
no one ever appreciates the cleanup guy.
No, never. They don't.
They just leave these bodies just all over the place.
But right at the end, Mark Wahlberg shows up and he goes, gonna have to kill you now. You're gonna have to die.
Killing like, the cleaner.
And the last scene is, and then Gary falls over into the grave he's dug. Because, you know, digging your own grave in the movie is a power move, right? Like, you have him dig his grave. He doesn't know it.
Wait, it's a power move for who?
For the killer.
Yeah, for the killer.
Not for you. You're dead.
No, it just makes you look dumb when you dig your own grave. Yeah.
You dug it thinking you're going to bury Rob Riggle? No. Mark Wahlberg steps out. You didn't go to Wahlburgers, bro. He just shoots him in the head.
When did Mark Wahlberg become Joe Pesci?
I don't know, but I love doing Mark Wahlberg. It's my new movie torture. We need more Wahlberg. As producer guy. Roger, do you have any reviews for this movie?
Yeah, let's pull some up. Why don't you do one of your positive ones first? Why don't you start off?
I need to pull one up, so you have to.
Whoever gets their laptop up first. All right.
We're looking here.
On Rotten Tomatoes, the film has an approval rating of 10% based on 111 reviews. Wow. With an average rating of 3.3. The site's critics' consensus reads dull, formatic, and chemistry free. Killers is an action comedy that largely is bereft of thrills or laughs. Another one gave it an F. One guy from Variety wrote, bullets fly, jokes land with a thud in Killers. A deadly, dull husband's a hitman farce that alternately resembles a knockoff of the 2005's Mr. and Mrs. Smith with a rehash of Night and Day also. So,
okay, I have some bonkers ones. First off, Kay Dillard wrote this year in January. Like, first off, I want to know, have any of y'all watched a movie that's 14 years old and decided I want to go on Amazon
and get a review?
I want to review this movie.
Never.
Like, I want to write this down. I think I'm going to start reviewing every movie we watch, and I'm just going to write absolute turd, and that's because I'm going to do that right now. Kay Dillard writes, funny and entertaining. I love spy movies, comedies, and adventure. This movie has all three.
Oh, boy, it does.
Plus, it has a little romance thrown in. Both my husband and I love it. We've watched it several times.
Oh, my goodness.
I would not want to get invited over to Kay's house for a movie night. I'm just saying.
Here's one of the worst reviews. This is the best of all the reviews. It's a dude from Jeanette from the New York Times. She said, unless you're trapped on an airplane or enjoying movie night at the penitentiary, you have no excuse for watching Killers. A brain deading collision of high concept and low standards.
Oh my gosh.
Movie night at the penitentiary. That's pretty bad. Yeah.
We go to prison for killing all these people. We'll watch Killers. Bob John wrote in 2023. I mean, this is a recent one. Katherine Heigl and Ashton Kutcher have good chemistry. I don't think they do. That movie makes the movie flow. Kutcher is a CIA killer who quits and he meets Heigl, but her father doesn't believe that he has. He puts a bounty on Kutcher's head and the fun. I mean, this guy's basically, we should hire him for movie torture.
He's just reviewing the movie.
Oh my gosh, Trent, you're gonna love this one. Market Gal writes August 6, 2023. Again, who are these idiots that like write reviews?
6 months ago.
Yeah. I mean, Kay did it like 2 weeks ago. So hers is really fresh, like a month ago. But this Market Gal writes, 5 stars, really enjoyed combination of suspense and comedy, smartly written.
Very smartly written.
But we go back to Fun Little Ditty by Michael Honeycutt, who wrote this in July of 2023. Oh my gosh. Doesn't really make a lot of sense. True. Writing was either thrown together in a weekend or just way above my level of sophistication to appreciate its nuance. Michael must be a moron. But it's a fun story and production was good. The actors are great. So if you're looking for a fun action rom-com for a date night, you should watch it. I'm going to write 5 stars, absolute turd, movie torture Brad. I'm going to do it right now. I'm just going to leave this. I'm literally going to start writing reviews because I've never wrote a review before. I don't. That's not in my blood.
No, I don't believe them.
Overall, I'm going to do 5 stars.
5 stars?
5 stars. Should I do 5 or just 1?
Do you want to do one?
Yeah.
You want to do one and then make it sound like I don't understand what you're trying to
do. Will it not let me do? Okay, I'm going to do one.
A 1-star.
I'm going to put.
But do it like a. Are you trying to do like a? You're trying to do like a fake review.
Cleaning the toilet is more fun than watching this. This movie is a turd.
They'll delete your
that refuses your to float.
Flush.
That refuses to flush. I like that, producer Gary. Signed.
That's why you're the producer.
Wait. I don't want Brad L on there. I'm gonna do.
Yeah, you're gonna take your name off there.
Signed.
Producer
sealed,
Gary's friend.
The cleaner.
Producer Gary's friend.
Don't do producer Gary. They're gonna know it's us.
Save. I'm saving it as producer Gary's friend. It's not you.
They're going to.
I'm going to make.
It's not you.
We're processing your review. It may take, so we appreciate your patience. We will email you when this is complete.
They're not going to print that.
I was going to say.
You don't think so?
No.
No.
Never.
That's why we can't leave reviews because.
Oh, I'm going to leave one every movie.
They'll say it's below their kind of standard or something probably.
Yeah. It's not Amazon standards.
It's not up to their key, yeah.
Bezos will be like, nah, we're not promoting what cleaning a toilet is better than watching Heigl. It was, man. I would rather do producer Gary's job.
I just wanted it to go off. I just wanted this to finish. And it just would never end.
It was a long movie.
It was a long movie.
This movie is perfect for an 80-minute movie, right, Raj? Like, you just get in. Let's get in, get the comedy. We should have started out with them married. Or getting married, like them walking down the altar together. And then their wedding, then their marriage starts. And their honeymoon should have been this. Like, oh my gosh, you're a killer? Like, she finds out on the honeymoon because they're tracking him.
Yeah.
That might have made more sense.
I think if they'd have had less neighbors trying to kill him, like, you know, going from like 15 to like 10, I mean, it was just a lot of extra added scenes that didn't really need to be in there. You know,
it didn't.
They lost some plot time with all the action.
Yeah.
Yeah. Selleck was wasted in this movie.
He was.
He yeah. was wasted. I mean, he's a great dude.
He was a jerk in this movie.
He was.
His character was a jerk.
Catherine O'Hara was great. Heigl was great. Kuchar was Kuchar. Riggle was good. Kid. Martin Mull was good. I like Martin Mull.
I mean, he played a really good dead guy.
He did. He played
a really good dead guy. He didn't move at all. He didn't blink.
Blumhouse Trent. Movie torture, movie gold.
Movie torture. Of the highest degree.
Of the highest degree. Is this, now you've watched a few movies on here now.
I would rather watch a Blumhouse movie.
Would Larry the Cable Guy had made this a better movie?
Shockingly, yes.
He would have. He could have been the bumbling CIA assassin. Hey,
he's so dumb. He never had any idea. People were trying to kill him. His buddies were trying to kill him.
And he doesn't know it.
Hey, Ralph, what's wrong with you, man?
Hey, man, I just crap myself. Oh, my God.
He'd have to throw that in there somewhere. Yeah. He'd have to put that in there.
Do you think Heigl would have signed on to a Larry the Cable Guy
movie? Probably would have made more money.
Love scene.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine? He takes his shirt off. He's got a lot of fur. And he's like, hey, baby, been watching you get her done.
I feel like if you try to kill, if he's like on the toilet and they're trying to kill him, that's the most vulnerable place a man can be when you're trying to kill him.
See, I think that's there would definitely be a Larry the Cable Guy on the toilet scene in Killers.
Probably, yeah. Yes.
That's the most vulnerable place for a man to be.
He's drinking a Bud Light. He's like, he's got his hat on.
Spitting into a dip jar.
Says, get her done. He's in the same trailer.
What is sad is what we're saying would not have hurt this movie in any way.
I honestly think it would have made it more funny and better.
Probably been more predisposed to watch it had he been in it.
In the whole, oh gosh, all his neighbors live in the trailer park.
And he's known for like 30 years. What are you doing?
One neighbor like smokes.
His uncle comes over and tries to kill him.
His stepmom.
Old lady whose cane turns into a shotgun.
Oh my gosh.
Grandma comes over and he thinks she's cooking her and she's trying to poison him.
He asks for a pack of smokes and they pull it out, but there's like Chinese stars in the pack. He's like, whoa.
See, all
y'all
that,
almost killed me.
I would watch that in a minute over this. Easy.
I think I might have pooped myself a little bit. Isn't that what he says?
That's what he said in Jingle All the Way.
Can he have that same dumb friend? He's always got to have the dumb friend.
Well, he would be the perfect dumb friend in this one for Ashton. Be like the like Tom Arnold was in True Lies.
Right.
The comedic relief, you know, like be his like, be like his computer guy on the side, you know, looking stuff up. Yeah, here I'm researching the data here, and it tells me that these are spies.
I still like him as the killer. I mean, as the spy, because. Would this be called Larry the Cable Guy, Killers?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Or Larry the Cable Guy, Spy.
Spy.
Yeah.
Catherine Heigl shows up.
Larry the Spy Guy.
She's like, okay, where is 70s show guy? I'm so excited to work with Ashton Kutcher. And then, oh, my gosh, who is this redneck? Hey, I'm the star, man. They fired Kutcher. I'm here. Get her done. She's like, holy crap, I'm in a Larry the Cable Guy movie.
My career is over.
They like put a pillowcase over her head to drug her.
It's Ashtray Kutcher, not Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, it's Ashtray Kutcher. Get her done. It's like... I want to see this movie now.
It would have been much better than what we watched.
I totally want to see Larry the Cable Guy, Spy. It's like, instead of like a Ferrari, they open up with like convertible Monte Carlo from like the 80s.
1978, yeah, Monte Carlo.
He's cut it to convertible top.
took the hard top off.
And, oh, can you imagine Tom Selleck as Larry the Cable Guy's father-in-law?
Oh, no, see, that would have been great.
That would have been so funny.
That would have been fantastic. It would have been awesome.
Can we get a scene, though, where Larry is hanging around Catherine O'Hara, and he finds out that Selleck is trying to kill him, and he goes, ah! And he does the
kill. Does the Collie Calkin routine.
Yeah, he goes, ah! Oh, God. Can we have a part where...
Is it not sad that all this would have helped the plot line of this movie?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Remember in Home Alone where Kevin, like, puts the shaving cream on like he's going to shave.
Oh, yeah.
Can we have a scene where Larry has, like, all the shaving cream on his hairy chest, and he's like, nah. He goes, nah, ain't doing it. And he just did that.
Or have him do the, he's going to cover the Asian spa.
And oh, my god.
Put the hot wax on him like, you know, in the 40-year-old virgin.
And then they do it, and instead of saying Kelly Clarkson, he goes, Ashtray Kutcher. It's a way to remind Heigl that
he got canned.
Trip, this is a better movie. Like, I've laughed more thinking about this movie.
Oh, yeah, because I would have watched that. This was just...
I mean, that still would have been on movie torture. It would have definitely been on it.
What did I text you when I finished watching the movie? I just endured Killers.
Yeah. I was waiting for the... Like, I was hoping this was like a Black Mirror episode where we just died in it. Like, this is it. Like, this is not a movie I'd want to die watching. Like, I would not want this to be my last movie of all time.
You would want somebody to come over and see it on your TV.
Yeah, oh my gosh, could you imagine, Trent, you show up at my house, I'm dead as crap, and on the movie.
A bunch of killers.
You're like, well, I guess he really liked killers.
It killed him.
It killed him. And at my funeral,
can't get no better than this, so.
You're like, everybody, I'm giving out free killer DVDs. Kay Dillard provided them. She left a review January 2023.
Brad's right. Favorite movie, ladies and gentlemen.
Brad's favorite killers. Movie, Killers.
Killers.
Get her done. Oh, my gosh. Roger, movie torture movie gold.
Well, you know, I may surprise you. No, it was trash.
I mean, this was better. Okay, well, okay.
It's better than some of I saw this once before, and so, you know, I sent through it a second time. I was looking at the clock, ready for it to end. But it's not as painful as some of the other stuff we've watched. So
I can't make rhyme or reason with you and your reviews, because you literally said the backup plan is a bronze. This movie's better than the backup plan by a mile. You're looking at me like I'm speaking Chinese right now.
It's the same kind of stuff. I mean, you know.
I'm telling Trent, if you ever want to pull out a ball bat and just whack your head with it, instead of the ball bat, just watch the backup plan, and you'll feel like you've been hit in the head with a ball bat. It's terrible. It is a terrible, terrible movie. This movie is Academy Award winning compared to that movie.
Oh, wow.
And it's bad. But as for me, this is movie torture, but not nearly close to the worst movie I've ever watched on this podcast.
No, it's one of those kind of movies. It had some better direction and better plot. It probably could have been an enjoyable movie.
Yeah.
Had it been done right.
We done it. It would have been a better movie.
It just wasn't put together well.
Yeah, because we're casting Larry, the CG cable guy. Well, now Larry, the streaming guy. Because there's no cable anymore. Movie torture dad's like, I'm canceling cable now. I'm not representing Larry, the cable guy anymore. Did somebody say cable guy, bro?
So, Gary, after listening to our reviews, is this a movie that you want to watch now, or are you going to stay away from?
I think I'll stay pretty far away from that one.
Okay.
Yeah. You and wife number four do not need to be watching Killers. Y'all need to watch Backup Plan. That way you can really test your marriage. Hey, anyway, for producer Gary, for Blumhouse Trent, for my friend Roger, my name's Brad. I'm going to go watch Paranoia Now by Richard Lukacik. I've never even heard of this movie, but I want to watch it.
Gotta be better.
Yeah. We'll see you next time on Movie Torture.